Hello, Pastor Brian here. You know, the book of Revelation in the Bible makes it very clear that this world is facing a time of just incredible, horrific, great tribulation like the world has never seen before. But we as believers in Jesus Christ, we're called in Scripture the body of Christ, will be raptured out of here to be with the Lord before those events even begin. Now, in previous podcasts, we've actually looked at Scripture to show you that there is ample evidence in there that that's exactly going to be the case. And what good news that is for us who are believers in Christ. During that time of great tribulation, like never before, hitting the earth, we are going to be in heaven rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. Now, some pretty amazing events are going to happen in heaven while we're there during that period of about 7 years. We've seen that. We've looked at it. For one thing, the judgment seat of Christ. That's when we as Christians are, as it were, judged before Jesus, but not for sin, judged that He might personally reward us. It's really a rewards ceremony. Rewarded for anything, any and everything that we ever did in this life that was truly for the Lord. And so it's going to be a celebration of the rewards He has for us. We've seen also that there's an event going to take place about the midpoint of that 7 years that Scripture literally describes Revelation chapter 12 as war in heaven. It's an angelic war. That's when Michael and the angels of God are going to fight Satan and those fallen angels who up to this point have some visitation rights to heaven to make their little claims. But when this war takes place, they are once and for all and forever defeated and cast out of heaven, never ever to even have any visitation rights in heaven. And they're cast down to earth. And Satan at that point knows his time is very short and he has great wrath, and it's going to be an ugly scene for earth during that time. But there's a third very exciting thing that's going to take place during that period we're in heaven with the Lord. And it's the marriage of the Lamb. We read about it in Revelation chapter 19. This is a heavenly event. Listen to this, verse 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride, His wife, has made herself ready. You know, the body of Christ is the bride of Jesus Christ. And to her, verse 8, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. So there's going to be the bride of Christ, believers in Jesus Christ, are going to have that time in heaven where you might say we are now formally, openly united to Him. It's like we're made visibly and eternally one with Him. I think it's probably going to be the biggest celebration in the history of heaven. And when that wonderful marriage is formally and openly declared at this great marriage supper of the Lamb, it's a great feast. You might say, well, who are the guests there? Well, it would be all the angels. It'd be all the angels. But I think on top of that, it would be Old Testament believers, you know? And that right there answers a question that you might have. And something Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, when he said, assuredly, I say to you, that those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And I think that's a reference to the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the special place we are given as his bride in heaven. In a sense, this is where he unveils us as his dearly beloved, and he displays us with great love and great admiration to all creation. You know, what a wonderful event that's going to be. It reminds me of the way in the first century Jewish marriage ceremonies took place. They would before the marriage itself, they would have a betrothal. That would be like the engagement. When the groom would give his fiancée, his coming bride, gifts, you know, and then assure, and they would make a commitment to her, and they would commit themselves to each other in engagement. They're not going to be living together at this point, but they're betrothed, engaged to be married. That was such a serious event that if they decided later on they wanted to break it off, they literally would have to get a divorce. Because as far as it was concerned, they were in every sense married. They just haven't cohabited yet together. They haven't come together for the full marriage and the union. And then the groom would go and prepare a place for his bride and in the father's house. And then at that time, when the father agreed, okay, it's time, it was the father that would make that decision, the groom would come back and get his bride and take her to the father's house for a week-long, seven-day marriage feast, marriage supper. And that would be their actual wedding, and marriage would take place. It's so interesting because it goes so along with our relationship with Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. When asked when this is going to happen, he said, only the Father knows. The Father makes that decision. Just like in the marriages in first century Israel. And then he would come and receive her, and that's why she had to be ready. And off they would go, and they would have that wonderful ceremony and celebration together. And that's exactly a picture. We are now, when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of our hearts and life, we are betrothed. And the Lord has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know? And basically a guarantee, I'm going to come and take you to be my bride. And you can bank your life on it. And so it's a done deal as far as our Lord is concerned. And we look forward to that day that he's going to come for us and take us to heaven for this wonderful marriage celebration, the marriage of the Lamb, where we're united with him in that very open, public, eternal way, and physically united with him. You know, it said there in verse 8, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, bright, clean and bright, for that fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And really, it's being visibly and openly clothed in the righteousness that is manifested in us that comes through Jesus Christ. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we're told, for he, God the Father, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. A little transfer there. He takes our sin, gives us his righteousness. So I like the way Paul puts it in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, when he says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. and to fulfill its lusts, you know? It reminds me of what James says in chapter 2, where he says in verse 17, for thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And then he says in the very next verse, show me your faith without your works. I will show you my faith by my works. His whole point is when there's genuine faith there, it's faith, it's going to come out in your life. One way or the other, it's going to show. It's going to show in your life, your faith. And that's those garments that he's talking about in Revelation chapter 19 that we get clothed in. It's those garments that are a result or the evidence of our faith in our life and in our walk with the Lord. That's which we get to openly wear. So we're one with him forever. It's like he says in Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. That's a legal term, joint heirs with Christ. What it means that on that day, we inherit everything that is Christ's. We're joint heirs with him. In other words, it's not a matter of giving us a little slice of glory that's our very own. It's like all that's Christ's is ours equally. We share 100% of it with him. That's how united we will be with Jesus Christ. So what a day of rejoicing that's going to be, that marriage supper of the Lamb, you know, the marriage of the Lamb right there in heaven. And, you know, it's in that very same chapter in Revelation, at the end of that chapter, Jesus makes his return to earth, and this is his second coming. It says in verse 11, now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. And he goes on and describes the glory of his second coming. And in verse 14, in the midst of that, it says, and the armies in heaven, grab this, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. That's us. We're the ones clothed in those garments, those heavenly garments, and we return with him as he comes back to establish his physical kingdom on this planet. He redeems not only us, but he redeems earth itself. So we're going to have the joy of returning with him. I'm reminded about when Douglas MacArthur at the beginning of World War II left the Philippines. We had to retreat. And he said to them as he left, I shall return. And it, sure enough, he did. He returned. Well, you know, we as believers, on that day when, you know, our current life on this earth ends, whether it ends in that rapture or whether it ends in our graduation, you know, our physical death and graduation into heaven, we'll be able to say as believers, I shall return, because we're going to come back and enjoy this earth as his redeemed children when he sets up his beautiful, righteous, glorious, perfect, filled with peace, love, and joy on this earth. You know, what a glorious, glorious future we have in store. And the Lord desires that we would actually look forward to these events with anticipation. Look forward to it. I love what Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:8. He says, finally, there is laid up for me, he's talking about himself, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. That's that judgment seat of Christ. But not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Look forward to his just coming for us. You know what Jesus told his disciples? He's describing in Luke events that will take place, coming up to his second coming, you know, things that will preview that tribulation period and then some of the events of the tribulation itself. And he said, in wrapping that up in Luke 21:28, he said, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near." Brothers, sisters, I can say to you, your redemption draws near. So keep looking up. Keep following and walking with Jesus, for he is with you. And we'll just carry on until that day he calls us to be with him. So listen, God bless you. And as you see things in this world happening that often can be just flat out distressing, don't worry. You have nothing to worry about, Christian. God's ultimately got it under control. It's just letting us know his coming is getting nearer. I'll talk to you later.